Good morning, afternoon, evening, and good night. Welcome to the EIC podcast on the Amherst Wired Network. I'm your host, co-editor-in-chief of the Amherst Wire, Jonathan Kerma, and thanks for listening, guys. So this episode, we actually have two guests. First, we have Nadia Elbahe, a representative of the climate activist group on campus, the Sunrise Movement, the Amherst Hub. We'll be talking about their most recent climate change walkout held last Friday, just kind of talking about the event as well as, you know, what the intentions were behind it. And then later in the show, we'll be talking to a close personal friend of mine, Devontae Higginbottom. He actually just made it onto the UMass basketball team. He spent the past 3 years as a manager for the team. So we're going to kind of be talking about his story as well as, you know, how special of a moment this is for him. I wanted to preface that, you know, he is my friend in terms of, you know, journalism ethics. You know, sometimes I can get cloudy, so I just want to make sure you guys know that. But I felt like his story was important enough to be told that, you know, we can overlook that. So I hope you enjoy the episode. All right, I'm back here with Nadia Elbahe, representing the UMass Sunrise Movement chapter. So we're going to be talking about the most recent campus walkout in focused on climate change. Nadia helped to kind of lead this group. There was about roughly 300 people. So how are you doing today, Nadia?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Definitely a little tired, but we're going to push through this interview. So I guess to get started, kind of tell me about yourself, how you kind of got into activism and what you're studying here at UMass.
Sure. So I'm actually really new to activism. I'm a junior, and this is kind of my first, like, activism activity on campus, I guess. I started out as a biology major and actually was not dissatisfied with the UMass biology program, but just in general with the lack of environmental awareness, especially as we are kind of in like this really crucial tipping point around climate change. I felt like biology is all about the living world and our ecosystems and things that will all be really greatly impacted by climate change. And there was kind of just a lack of conversation around that. Which actually led me to change my major. I dropped biology to a minor, and now my major is informatics, because I'm interested in data and using that to like answer a lot of questions. And what really brought me to the Sunrise Movement was kind of just like my general climate anxiety and the need that I felt to do something immediate. Mm-hmm. And I went to a training put on by the Sunrise Hub in Boston last spring, and it was just really energizing, really inspiring, and I wanted to bring that back to UMass.
Okay, and when did the Amherst Hub come to be? How long ago was that?
We're very new. This is our first semester. We kind of went through organizing it over the summer.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're really new.
So you guys are getting started with the bang with the whole walkout. So how much planning went into that?
A lot. So basically, we were planning it over the summer and then in the first weeks here at school.
Okay. And did you feel like the walkout kind of met your expectations in terms of, you know, progress made, in terms of impact? I mean, there was roughly 300 people there, so I don't know, you know, what you were shooting for.
Yeah, I was really happy with the turnout. You know, I heard from a lot of people that they went, that they loved it, and really that was, at least for me, one of my main goals was to get people out there who maybe don't consider themselves activists, but know that this is a really huge problem and we all need to be there and we all need to act. And the fact that they would leave class or skip class or even just drop by was showing me that like people who maybe aren't completely in the activist camp are still gonna get involved. And that's really, for me, what Sunrise is about, is providing that forum for everyone to get into this sort of thing.
Okay, and what was the overall, like, I guess the energy and the vibe of the whole walkout? You know, was it like more of a protest? Was it more of like a party? You know, how would you explain it?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of different things depending on who was speaking, what we were doing. There were songs, there were chants, and I would say it definitely covered the whole range of emotions from really just sad, angry, but also like really inspired, really hopeful, like happy to be there. Like the songs went from being like really fun to like really tragic. So,
you said you had multiple speakers. Who exactly spoke, if you remember everybody?
Oh, I'll feel really bad if I leave someone out. But we had a lot of different organizations, both on campus and from just the Pioneer Valley represented. We had Extinction Rebellion. They played a really huge role in planning this. And Emily Dropkin spoke on their behalf. We had UMass Dems, UMass Democratic Socialists, Student Justice for Palestine, the UMass Climateers, MassPerg, I wanna 500 Women Scientists, Kristen DeAngelo spoke for them, SEPA, there are more listed.
Did there happen to be any like UMass faculty speaking at this by chance?
Yeah, so 500 Women Scientists is a group of scientists. It's a national organization, and my principal investigator for my lab, Kristen DeAngelo, spoke, and she's a professor here at UMass.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. And I also noticed that you guys had a list of demands for Chancellor Suvaswamy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you be willing to kind of go over them? I have them kind of written out here. Maybe I list some of them, and then you kind of put some explanation behind it.
Yeah, sure.
So the first one was tell the truth. I think that's self-explanatory, but if you kind of want to go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, so we have no doubt that our faculty know what's going on, that climate change is a real thing, but what we want is for them to accept that, or state that it is an emergency and that it needs to be treated as such, because to not treat the problem with the magnitude of change required is a form of climate denial.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to take it more seriously in order to be really truthful about like how bad this is.
Right, right. And then the next one we got is act now. So what ways could there be like immediate action taken from the campus, in your opinion?
So UMass is, like, we do pride ourselves on our environmentalism. We pride ourselves on our sustainability. And there is a climate mitigation task force and a climate resiliency task force. I think that there needs to be better transparency between the people on those task forces and the general student body. And I think that the timeline really needs to, we really need to like get things going and accelerate like the actions that we're going to make. We need to really like divest from fossil fuels and really invest in 100% renewable energy. And I have no doubt that the task forces are working hard, but I'd like to see what they're doing. I'd like everyone to know what they're doing and to get updates on that.
Okay. And then the next one we got is community leadership. In the article in Amherst Wire, it mentions a 5-college body composed of students, staff, faculty, and community stakeholders. Could you kind of elaborate on this?
Yeah. So that kind of goes back to what I was saying, where we want full transparency and we want everyone who's going to be impacted by the decisions made on campus and by climate change to be involved in these decisions, because we think that that will, one, get students more involved, get faculty more involved, and make sure that all of our voices are heard, because we don't want these choices just coming from the top down. We want everyone to really be engaged with this fight against climate change.
Okay. And number 4 is pursue a just transition. So mitigation and adaption efforts should prioritize the people on campuses and in communities who are most vulnerable to the immediate and long-term impacts of the climate crisis. Would you be willing to kind of elaborate on that one as well?
Yeah. So I think part of what makes the Sunrise Movement, well, what makes me really proud of the Sunrise Movement is that they make climate justice a priority. It's not just about we need to end climate change to keep like this subset of people safe. We are really for everyone, and we really want to stress that and make sure that everyone knows that not only are they welcome in the movement, but we want the movement to protect them. So like we have seen over and over again in just like even the past few weeks, the people who are most vulnerable to climate change are low-income people and people of color. And we want those people to be protected at UMass and also like welcome and engage with the movement So yeah, we really just want any adaption strategies and resilience strategies to like take environmental justice in mind.
Okay. And then the last point I have here was prepare your students for the future. Could you kind of elaborate on this one as well?
Yeah, this one's pretty close to me. I like this one a lot. I think that we are at an institution that is supposed to be preparing us for our futures. Our advisors tell us like what steps to take career-wise, education-wise, but it's really, really hard to plan a future for yourself when you don't know what that future is going to look like because of climate change. Climate change is going to impact everybody, regardless of what field they're in. There is no job market that will be safe from climate change. And we need to learn that. There should, if we have general education requirements for math or for science, then we also need one that's going to like tell us what our future is going to look like. That can be within different departments, sure, but everyone should have to take something related to the crisis that we're all going to face.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Chancellor Suvaswamy, he kind of ended his media response with, yet we must undoubtedly do more. Our campus is a complex system that in many ways operates as a substantial city. UMass Amherst has an energy grid that provides reliable power 24/7, 365 to over 13,000 student residents, thousands of offices and classrooms, campus dining commons, and state-of-the-art laboratories for research. We provide invaluable services to our students and the Commonwealth, but we are an energy-intensive enterprise. So I encourage your engagement so we can chart a path together to create a sustainable campus. That's kind of just the last paragraph that he said, but overall, do you feel that you've seen like a positive response from the faculty in general to the walkout, or do you feel like there's still a lot more that needs to be done from the faculty's perspective?
Yeah, I think that verbally or just in written media, the faculty have all been really supportive, and that's awesome. And we're going to see within the coming year if like how those words translate into actions. And I'm excited to see that. I'm hopeful that there will be big change. I know it's going to be really difficult. I know that UMass is large and really complex, as the Chancellor said, but it's important, so.
Right, and do you think the Sunrise Movement, as well as XR Rebellion, you guys will be staging any other events similar to this in the future?
Oh yeah, I know that this Friday, Extinction Rebellion is having their die-in. It's going to be more of a performance art piece slash protest, and they'll be stating their demands for the university, and it's going to be really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And where is that going to be at?
So people are going to be stationed all around different points in campus, and they're all going to march, have a funeral procession and march towards where we had our climate strike this past Friday, so on the East Pond lawn, and it's going to be something to see. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And when does Sunrise Movement have meetings for people that might be interested in joining?
So we're still ironing out our general body meeting times, okay, but we have a when to meet listed on our Facebook page. I think it's Sunrise UMass. Just look up UMass Amherst Sunrise, and you'll find our Facebook page. And yeah, so if anybody wants to participate in those general body meetings, fill out the one to meet so that like we can get the most people there.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
I've asked you this a bunch of times. Do you have any game?
I do.
Okay. You do? Meet your newest walk on Devontae. Right? Yeah!
And we're back. So on Saturday, September 21st, UMass basketball announced the addition of their newest walk-on, Devontae Higginbottom. While playing for a D1 basketball team alone is a special moment, this moment feels even more newsworthy when factoring in Devontae's history with the team as a manager for the past 3 years. Now in his senior year, he gets to play alongside with many of the athletes he was working with day in and day out. Now, without further ado, here's the UMass basketball player, former intern of the National Basketball League, as well as someone that I have the honor of calling my former roommate and friend. So, Devonte, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Appreciate you having me on here.
Of course. It had to be done. But I'm good overall. So, how does it... Does it feel real yet that, you know, you're on the UMass basketball roster?
Yeah, honestly, I've been thinking about it a lot over the last couple of days. Obviously, when that video came out, there were a lot of people hitting me up, congratulating me, and it was a surreal moment. But I don't think it'll be real until I put that jersey on for that media day. But I'm just thankful for Coach McCall and everybody else who's been giving me this opportunity. I'm ready to work.
Let's get it. So we're going to kind of get started with talking about your past. So, you know, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Boston, Mass. Went to school there, Boston Renaissance Charter Public Schools until fifth grade. And then in sixth grade, I joined the MECO program at Westwood High School. I grew up there basically 6th through 12th grade, played basketball, was the first black captain there. I did track my senior year, broke a school record. That was cool. And then graduated, and I came into UMass.
Had to flex on him real quick. Just broke a school record.
I mean, I just wanted to show off my little sports accolades. That's it.
Of course. And so when did you first start playing basketball?
I first started playing basketball when I was probably five or six. I played in a no books, no ball league. People from Boston know what that is, but it's a league in Roxbury where most kids who are from Boston playing. I grew up doing that. Different leagues. Was it Boston Basketball League? Just a bunch of different leagues. And then in sixth grade, I started to get serious once I got to Westwood. And then in high school, when I started lifting and things like that, that's when I met Coach St. Martin at Westwood. That's when I really got into it. And then I got called up to varsity my sophomore year playoffs. And then ever since then, I've been on varsity.
And obviously, you know, I've seen your Instagram. And on one of your Instagram stories, you have like a picture where it's like a news clip of your father playing for Westwood High and side by side with you playing. So how important or how influential do you think your dad was with both basketball and with you, who you are as a man?
Everything. He knows. Me and him used to butt heads a lot just because he was the man of the house, and I always tried to challenge that. But I quickly realized, like, from him, there's a lot to take away. He's out of my parents. He's the only one who went to college. He got his master's degree. So everything that I do on and off the basketball court, again, this internship, double majoring, is honestly, it's probably a lot based off him. And it was special.
And what's your double major?
So I double majored with sport management and operation information management. Shout out to Eisenberg. They've provided me with a lot of great opportunities. But my dad wore 35 in honor of his favorite player, Reggie Lewis, and my favorite player is Kevin Durant. Sorry for everybody who doesn't like that. And I wore 35 because of KD. So it was a cool moment. He was in the newspaper. I was in the newspaper. So it was a cool moment.
All right. So now let's kind of move on to your experience at UMass. So freshman year, you joined the basketball team management staff. Yep. What made you want to do that?
I knew after high school, if I was going to play in college, it maybe would have been D3. I wasn't even getting looks or offers, honestly. And I knew coming in, I just emailed every single coach. And I was like, I want to be a manager. I know I want to work in basketball. NBA internship was always the goal. So this was something I wanted to put on my resume. And from day one, I just started. I worked hard. I was able to travel my freshman year as a manager, which is pretty rare. And it was a cool opportunity. And then ever since then, I had been managing.
Mm-hmm. And what was the work like as a manager in your freshman year?
My freshman year was obviously just staying acclimated, staying down, making sure you just show up every day, mopping, water. Not the biggest responsibilities that I would get as a sophomore and junior going on, but just making sure that you can show them your work ethic and that you're there to serve the program.
Yeah, and in your sophomore and junior years, you kind of worked your way up the rankings all the way up to what was your final position as a manager?
So I was able to be co-head manager with a junior named Dom. Shout out to Dom. And it was a cool opportunity. When we went to the Virgin Islands, I was still a manager, obviously, and that was just a cool opportunity. I was able to travel a decent amount, worked on film, recruiting visits, and just whatever coaches needed, they would go to me or one of the top guys first, just because we've shown that we've proven ourselves that they can rely and trust on us.
Right. And what? How many hours a week are you doing this on, like, a typical week of classes?
A lot, honestly, because you got to be there when the players are there. So that may be 1 or 2 hours a day, depending on workouts or practice. And then also just I go in between my last year and mostly this year, I would go in before and after class just to make sure the coaches didn't need anything, or that I was always around the Champion Center just to make sure if anything was needed, I was there.
And how did you find time to hoop with this too, seeing that, you know, you also got classes that you got to take care of?
Honestly, it was a struggle. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices, so I would stay up till 2 a.m. or whatever doing my homework. But I would go to the rec center usually after practice or after a workout and just try to play for an hour. Don't want to come off the court. So if you don't lose, you don't have to get off.
Right, right. And what words of advice would you have for someone? We should preface it in the fact that in this past summer, as I said in the intro, you know, you were an intern with the NBA. So you really, I always joke with you the fact that you made the league. You really made the league. So what is your advice for a freshman that wants to be, you know, that's in sports management, that's interested in being a intern with a professional league? Like, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, and the first thing that I told them, and I had a networking night a couple weeks ago with the sport management program. And the first thing I told the freshman was to get that NBA internship. Keep it in your mind, but don't worry about that right now. That was what I was worried about. I was always worried about, okay, how can I do this right now? Worry about the steps that it takes to get there. So my freshman year, I took an unpaid internship and I worked part-time at Nike. I worked 7 days a week after my freshman year summer. And then I went to accounting. And then I would say, one, work hard, take the little things because any experience is good experience. And then two, make sure you get a diverse range of experiences. So I went from social media marketing freshman year summer to accounting. And then last summer, even at the NBA, I was doing HR. So I have a wide range of things on my resume now.
All right. And I guess, you know, the last question we got to ask, last couple questions, I should say.
Yeah.
So when did it become clear that, like, it would be a possibility that you could, you know, play with the team instead of just being a manager?
Yeah, so when we went to the Virgin Islands, for whatever reasons, there were only 8 guys that were end up suiting up. And so Coach McCall joked around and said, like, let's get this guy suited up for when we go over there, because I didn't know how the competition was going to be. And we ended up winning our games by a lot, and if I were to suit up, I assume I would have got little garbage time minutes. But that was the first time, and then I was playing 2-on-2 with the coaches, and one of the coaches joked, like, why don't we get this guy to walk on? And then it just kind of progressed from there. And then early last week or early 2 weeks ago, director of basketball operations kind of came up to me and was like, would this be something that you wanted to do? And I was like, of course. Like, this is every person, anybody who cares about basketball and they played basketball their whole lives, like, going D1 bound, like, it's a cool opportunity. And so I was, of course, I would love to walk on. And then it kind of just progressed from there. I had to get cleared and all that type of thing. And actually today would be my first day of practice. I'll be doing conditioning today. So
have fun.
Welcome to the team.
And I guess my last question for you, let's go back to that specific moment when it was official.
Yeah.
You know, we saw the Instagram video on the UMass basketball page. But, like, what was that feeling like when it first, like, dawned on you, like, I am actually on the team? How did that hit you?
It was cool. Like, when Coach McCall called me over to come in the middle of the circle, I kind of had a feeling what it was going to be, but I still didn't know. And he jokes around with me, always asks me if I have any game. And the first time he asked me if I had any game, I said, I don't know, coach. And then he just, be confident, Tay. So, like, every time he asked me after that, I'd be like, yes, coach, I do have game. And so he asked me again, do you have game? And then I was like, yes, coach. And he said, well, meet your new walk on Devonta Higginbottom. Just having that, I'm cool with all those guys, even though they're all, a lot, 7 of them are freshmen. I just met them this summer, but that trip allowed us to bond a lot. So just having all those guys, like, appreciate and want me on the team, that little dance circle that we had, it was cool. And I just really appreciative of the opportunity. And so I'm ready to work. It was cool, surreal, but now it's time to work.
All right. Well, that concludes the interview. I do want to say, this is not journalist to athlete. This is me to you, bro. Like, I love you, and I'm more than happy for you. I'm going to show up to every home game.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We're about to get
bro.
The N1 Devonta section lit.
Oh, my God. Love you too, bro. Thank you for having me on here.
Yep. Thanks for coming. Peace.